Hello, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of the 365 Message Center Show. Some of the messages we're going to cover, big news, the SharePoint Brand Center is coming to a neighborhood near you. So we're going to talk about that and how we get custom fonts. Yay! We're also going to talk about how one of the biggest things about meetings and recordings that we just... it's very frustrating is where that recording is stored. Well, we're going to talk about how Microsoft is fixing that and helping us out with that. And then to make Daryl happy, we're also talking about loop components in Microsoft OneNote. Those messages and actually many more. Stick around. Let's roll it.
Keeping Daryl happy.
We've got to keep you happy, because if we don't, then, you know, there's probably going to be trouble. You know,
I guess I'm one of the major investors in this. So
right, you're a major investor, and so we got to keep you happy and satisfied with the output of the things. So
that's right. Yeah, to attract more sponsors. Welcome everyone to episode 329. It's great to have you here. And thank you for your patience as we skipped a week. Things happen. Life happens. But we're still here, and we're reasonably consistent, aren't we, Daniel?
Fairly reasonably.
I love your committed language there.
That's what I was going for. So now that you're here, might as well give a smash to that thumbs up button in YouTube. If you're listening to the audio podcast, how about giving us a 5-star rating? And everyone... go ahead and share out the podcast. Share it out. Or, you know what you also could do, you know what you could do? On all the socials that matter, there's going to be a post on our page or our handle about this episode. Just reshare that, right? You don't even have to be creative. You can just hit the reshare, repost, whatever it is, button that you see. We'd greatly appreciate that.
You know, Daniel, people still react, share, like posts sometimes weeks after the episode. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
I have. And you know what? It's because, you know, you're just very engaging. So people are like...
And you continue to deliver value, Daniel.
Well, I try. And I'm going to challenge you, Daryl, on this episode 329... that you bring some value in talking about external users and apps and stuff in Teams.
So, all right. Yeah, this is a curly one that took a little bit of trying to understand what it meant. Microsoft Teams apps now supported in group chats with external users. This is MC779844. You're in a group chat. What is a group chat? Chat with more than one person in it. Hey. But, you know, we supposed, too, that this might include chats to do with meetings. Because when you are in a meeting and you're having a chat, pairs is a group chat afterwards when we go to check out that content. And the real key part here is it is about chats, group chats with external users. So something we couldn't do beforehand with external users, it was exclusive just to people within our organization. So there is the ability to be able to share some of these apps with external users. And I felt, Daniel, that I thought this was on an app-by-app basis. You know, that it seems like this is making a blanket statement that the apps that are available to us in group chat will now be available to external users, apps. But I would have thought it would be, can't use the loop one yet with external users yet. We haven't for a while been able to do whiteboards, but it seems now we can, or maybe that's still coming. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's one of those messages that I look at and go, what does this mean? You know, a little bit more detail, and you know, flushing out the details of what you're talking about. What apps? All apps? Some apps? What's a group chat? Well, we know what a group chat is, but meetings are, you know, the chat in a meeting is considered a group chat. So But there's no word, there's no meeting word in this whole post. So I have some questions to see how all that'll play out. But the promise being that, hey, we're able to do some of this, I like it, right? But
yeah,
some questions. Yep.
Yeah, so we're looking for more detail. I guess this is almost commentary, too, on the quality of the message.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we can separate quality of message as far as, you know, the message delivered in the message center and the quality of message as in what is being delivered from the product team, right? There's differences there.
Fair.
And, you know, we don't have any screenshots, so... You know, that's kind of stinks because we always love pictures. Where's my pictures?
I can't read. I've got to have pictures. Daniel draws things furiously on our pre-planning meetings.
Yes. I have my pencil and I was... So there's just a little bit of information here that I think is needed from the team's team to tell us, you know, what is it all that we, you know, the things we've brought up already. So anyway.
Well, group chat hosts can add apps. Members of the chats will be able to, all members of the chat can use the added app, including external members. So yeah, we'd like to see some examples, but anyway, we might be able to test some of these things out soon because it is mid-May that it'll be rolling out to general availability. And it should be complete by late May. So let's try it on in a few weeks' time. Actually, about a month's time from now. Unless you're watching this episode weeks later. we've got some double barrel messages coming up, haven't we, Daniel? Where we're going to cover two messages at the same time because it's
the same thing. We're bringing value. We're going to do two at once. We're going to read both. Or we're not going to read them to because we don't do that, but we're going to give you commentary on two messages at the same time. This is how good we are, okay? The first message is MC77878782, which is Microsoft Viva. Viva Connections. Manage your organization's brand in the new Brand Center preview. And then the second message is MC77873. And it's a SharePoint one. So it's one for Viva Connections and one for SharePoint, but commentary is for both. That's how good we are here. So this is announcing that the Brand Center is coming to SharePoint. So bringing some nice, powerful tools to you and those that manage your brand to really style the content that your users are creating and the way that, you know, aligns with your brand. So this will, there's some steps here to enable it. So it kind of lays out how that happens and how you make sure you're using the Brand Center and, you know, how that's going to work with the app. And yes, you do have to use a Microsoft's public CDN to make this work. But there's some steps there for you, and it's got options depending upon what your status is and how you've been working. And so basically, this is something that you're going to have to work with IT admins as well as those that are going to manage the Brand Center to make it happen, like, and to discuss all the what's going to happen. So... I will try to describe the blurry images that we have here. They're not very high res, but you're going to go into your org settings. There's going to be a Brand Center parentheses preview option. So that's where you're going to go, and you're going to select the options and set it up there. And once you've done that, you can then manage access and all that kind of stuff. From there. So you can see that from the screenshots. Fantastic. And, you know, this is going to enable, multitudes of things. One of those things Daryl's going to talk about here in just a moment, but multitude of things for us to bring to, like I said, to those marketing or, HR, whoever are those brand people that are managing internal communications and look and feel for your users. So this, Daryl, we've actually talked about this. This has been talked about for a little while, and it took a little bit because there was some issues and things that had to be kinks had to be worked out. But here we are. Are you excited, Daryl, for a brand center?
Absolutely. Yep. Looking forward to seeing the centralized. I guess it's an expansion, really, on we've had organizational assets, which is one of the things the message talks about, the options. If you're an organization that has been using that, you've got your templates stored in one place. Maybe you've got a sort of folder structure of images and videos that you might want to use. Oh, was videos part of it? I think it's just images at the moment. But your brand center is going to be an expansion on that and allow you to... manage many other things. As Daniel said, I'll be covering one shortly. But yeah, very, very glad to see this. And I'm sure there'll be lots of feature requests to expand on its capabilities too. I can see a potential for giving, let's say, a third-party access that might be creating some marketing material for you. Is this going to be a replacement for a public service that's available third-party like Brand Central? Not to be confused with Brand Center, which is
yes,
yeah.
So this will be rolling out mid-April, so nowish, and expected to be completed by June 2024. So terribly excited about both of those. See, bring in value. Yeah. We cover two messages at once. Daryl, I challenge you to do the same.
Oh, I can, because it follows the same pattern. So, firstly, SharePoint introducing custom fonts for preview, and this is MC778781. I don't know if I'm reading this in the right order here, Daniel. Might have to go backwards in this. The next one is Microsoft Viva introducing custom fonts for SharePoint and Viva Connections Desktop Preview, MC778780. Yeah, I went backwards in the message sent account. Doesn't matter. Let's not get all OCD about this. It is actually the same message, and it is leveraging Brand Center, which we just discussed in the last two messages. Fonts, custom fonts. Oh my goodness, this is really good. So there is a great message here that breaks it all down about what it looks like to create that custom font package, where you might use those fonts. It is about creating font families, that concept of, combining two font families to cover the different ways that we use fonts in a site. Just really good to be able to bring those fonts in that we, may have as an organization been using them to really give ourselves that sense of this is who we are, this is the font that we've chosen, we like this, it represents us. And there's more of that continuation of what might be our external facing brand.
Yeah, and they're promising that, right? That soon custom fonts are coming. So while this one is, here are the eight that we're getting now those default font packages, being able to bring those custom ones. I know there's plenty of people that are excited about that.
Yeah. And so they'll be organized. At the moment we've got the From Microsoft ones, and coming soon the From My Organization. It's a good start. Don't feel too like, it's not doing what I need to yet. The feature's not there yet. Much like all Microsoft 365 changes and new features, it starts off with something to at least get the structure right, set the tone, load test things, and then we can do the fancy custom stuff. So well done, SharePoint team. And as we know, and I've talked about two messages with the different headings, it'll be available in Viva Connections, because what does Viva Connections run on?
SharePoint.
Yeah, I was looking for something a bit more enthusiastic, like SharePoint. But that's all right. You did well, Daniel. You did enough. Oh, you know, I just wanted to say too, you know, we talked about brand center and custom fonts, and there's this there's this personal brand thing that I really appreciate with Daniel when he does have an announcement to make, and he does this little personal branded, you know, so thank you for bringing joy to me every time you do that.
Man.
Yep.
See what people what I have to put up with?
You do. So this is rolling out mid-April 2024, now-ish. Expect to be complete June.
Not now-ish.
Not now-ish. Later on-ish.
Let's not talk about that anymore. Let's talk about SharePoint. Oh, wait. Microsoft SharePoint Online and Microsoft Stream new video page templates. This is MC7787877. I love my sevens and eights. So this is going to be, now, first of all, no screenshots. Sad Daniel. but we, this is going to be an ability for you to, when you're viewing a video in the Stream app, right? In the Stream web app, you've clicked in a video, whether it's on SharePoint or in OneDrive, and you're viewing it, you're going to be able to then create a page for that using choosing a template, a special template for that. So it's going to be, it could be a page or a news post based upon that content. And I think one thing that I really want to call out here is this, there's a little note or little blurb in here that says this is for the first time ever, a user will soon be able to create a page outside of SharePoint for videos stored on a SharePoint site. So I looked at that and I went, what do you mean outside of SharePoint? Because if you read, you're clicking on a video that is in SharePoint or OneDrive and you're creating, and you read the instructions, it basically says, well, once you do that, you land on the site wherever the video is. That's where the page is going to be. So initially I read that and like, oh, this is talking about pages you're going to store outside of SharePoint. But then I read it and go, that can't be with what they're describing. So maybe it's just saying for the first time you're outside of SharePoint, you're actually in Stream web app, you're creating a SharePoint page starting there to create a SharePoint page versus having to be in SharePoint to create a SharePoint page. Does it make sense? No?
Sort of. I mean, yeah, like I read it the same as you. The page is created in the site where the file is stored, the Stream file. But yeah, outside, I started wondering: are we going to start seeing SharePoint pages that don't have a site? So are they going to start treating them like Office files?
I read this two different ways, so that's why I'm asking. Like I'm thinking it's just saying, hey, you're not in SharePoint anymore; you're in the Stream web app.
Right.
So you're outside of SharePoint, although Stream is powered by SharePoint.
I get it.
So you're technically outside of SharePoint when you go to create a SharePoint page. So it's like as if you're in you're in Outlook and you create SharePoint page from this email or something, right? So it's outside.
Yeah, the creation experience is outside of SharePoint.
Yeah.
Got it.
I think it could be worded a little differently there to bring some clarity. So
well, we brought clarity.
I think we did. People should just, you know, subscribe and watch this every week, and that'd be good fun.
Deserves a double thumbs up, but if you click it a second time, it takes the thumb away. So maybe triple thumbs up.
Yeah, triple.
Yeah.
Targeted release. Begin rolling out April 2024, so early April, actually. So yesterday-ish, or the other day-ish. And expected by late May. And then general availability worldwide. GCC, GCC High, DOD, U.S. Secret, and U.S. NAT. Oh, wow. All of them begin rolling out early June 2024, expected by late June 2024. Daryl.
Yeah.
Now it's the time, the part of the show where we take a A little bit of detour to make Daryl happy. See, he's smiling. He's already smiling. Look at him, people. We love it. It's a joke, okay? God, it's a joke. We want to get loopy, so get loopy. I made him mad, I think.
No, that's fine. loop components in Microsoft OneNote.
What?
As opposed to any other OneNote. This is MC777847. Well, okay, quick check. OneNote, the notebook that we know and love and have had for quite some time and has been in the SharePoint site template since 2013. Woohoo! Very collaborative. It's gone through all kinds of fun in its life. Available in two different types of apps, which got a bit confusing. But our notebooks are reliable. They do many different things. And some have said that Loop, Microsoft Loop, what do we need Loop for if we've got OneNote? It is, I guess, about choosing the tool that you would prefer to use and fit for purpose. But this brings the two together. And what we're seeing is a framing around how OneNote is for your personal notes, although you can still use it for taking notes as a team. And Loop Components is a place for the collaborative notes experience and teams, among other things, and making those portable components available for others. So the way they come together is that you'll be able to insert a new component into a notebook. Very cool. And different purposes for that. You could also take your collaborative notes or other existing Loop components and drop them into the OneNote page. And the idea being that with this OneNote maybe being your personal notebook, that you're making personal notes in and around the Loop Live component that sits there embedded and always up to date. But yeah, I can understand. This is going to be interesting to try and frame it for people in terms of why would we do this? So it's really about experiencing it in practice and seeing whether this will be useful to you as an individual or to you as a team. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
No, I'm right on with you where you're talking about your personal thoughts or annotations. Well, not annotations, but your
think.
So your work around it, your thinking around something that's shared that is in other places. Right? That's the beauty of Loop components is you can put it in different places. It doesn't mean it lives there. It's just being displayed there and interacting there. But I think that's interesting way, because OneNote we can collaborate too, but especially for those things like, hey, here's this component or here's this collaborative notes that we took in the meeting. I'm going to pull it into OneNote so that I can put some thoughts down and then maybe add to those collaborative notes or whatever. I think there's going to be a lot of kind of use cases there. I think the biggest thing here for me as far as concern is definitely not the right word. It's too harsh. The opportunity is just confusion over, for OneNote people, I've got this thing now. And it's changing. It's not exactly a OneNote thing, and I would hope this is not the introduction to Loop components for people that are like OneNote people. You know what I mean? Like there could be some confusion there. But I actually think there's some pretty good use cases for this.
Yeah, certainly. With lots of places where you can insert a OneNote component, even within Outlook, for example, we've got that insert component button and it gives you a few choices, but it's not necessarily limited to that. So another example might be the code block. You might use the code block here in OneNote and keep a collection of different code that you've been sharing with team members and got feedback from, or maybe they've contributed to it. Lots of different ways to bring these collections together. In fact, some of you might know that the Loop workspaces, creation of these Loop workspaces is you've got to have a E3 or E5M Microsoft 365 license for it. I've supposed and created a video around that if you're not at that level with your licensing, that you could use a OneNote notebook and bring your components in together to what I might call a one space, which is the melding of Loop and OneNote. Anyway, we've done enough of this on this message. It is a good thing, an interesting thing. Interested to hear your thoughts, of course, community, our people. And this is generally available in OneNote on the web, rolling out early April. So it's now-ish and complete early April, May rather, and generally available in the desktop app in early June 2024, complete mid July 2024. And those of you who might have been using the insider version of Office like myself can try it out now. Daniel, let's talk about the other thing. Well, one thing that I think I'm excited about with meeting recordings and tidying up that experience too. Where's my file? Where's my video?
Well, let me tell you. Microsoft Teams meeting recordings are now saved in organizers' Microsoft OneDrive, because there's many OneDrives, so they have to be very specific and say it's Microsoft's OneDrive. This right. is MC772558. I'm done.
Yeah, no, there's more to it. Come on.
No, I don't know that there is, but I mean, I just said the title and it basically tells you everything. No. So the issue, what is the problem? Well, the problem has been whoever got to the meeting first, if it was set up to auto record, boom, now it's basically their recording. Mm-hmm. And or whoever hit the button first, right? So this is giving us a little bit more control, and it kind of makes sense to say, okay, whoever organized this is probably the person who's going to be more, have more ownership over the recording, right? That will be the person to take the recording and maybe save it off if it needs to be saved, move to somewhere else or whatever, and kind of manage that experience. So that's what this is giving us, is going to be able to do that. Now, there is a delay. So if your organization needs time to prepare for this change, you can delay it by 3 months and say via PowerShell, you can set the policy so that it doesn't do this for 3 months, but after that it will. Okay. So you need to take if you're going to do that, you need to take the time to actually put it into play and educate people and roll that out for adoption efforts. But yeah, I'm excited about it. I know you are, Daryl, too. I think a lot of people are, because for the most part, it's just been a little bit frustrating of you're in a meeting, or actually it's way more frustrating when you leave the meeting and you're like, wait, where's that recording? Who saved that? Where's it at? Who hit the button? You know, just that kind of stuff. Just
What we had said back to us with that, you know, reaction was, well, it's there on the recap. It's there in the chat. Does it matter whose OneDrive it's in? Because it's all brought together in the meeting recap. But it really does matter.
Yeah.
Especially for the organizer who has to do the follow-up tasks.
Yep.
It just helps to have that content in your OneDrive and in your control.
Absolutely. And what happens when people else? Yeah, but what happens when that person leaves and you know that you don't have proper controls and that meeting video is deleted? Or they delete it manually. They're like, I got to clean up my space because I've got so much, you know, content in my OneDrive and I've been told I need to clean it up or whatever. And so they go and start deleting stuff and they delete the video and now no one has it, right? So I mean, there's just a lot there that this is going to kind of address. So I'm excited about it. This is rolling out general availability worldwide mid-May 2024 through late May. And then for general availability GCC mid-June through late June, GCC High mid-July through late July, and DoD mid-August to late August. Daryl, I am really excited for us to cover this last message, sir. I want to annotate all over this.
You do? Yeah, I think you're just excited that it's the last message.
No.
No, well, And our recording time, Daniel, is I can hear his tummy grumbling right now because it's around his dinner time. We've got to adjust our recording time. So I can hear it from here in New Zealand, and you're in Nashville, far out.
Wow.
All right, sorry. Wow. Yeah, sharing too much information. Please don't quit. All right, next message. Microsoft Teams, save meeting content and collaborative annotations as a Microsoft whiteboard. This is MC775345. Right. I got to say, I don't use the annotations feature much in a meeting, but it is handy when you do need to use it. And what does it currently do? We can click on annotations. It brings up the whiteboard tools. I can scribble on things. I can, you know, circle it or whatever. I can put words and sticky notes on that screenshot image. And then I can save that, and it's something that we can use as a meeting asset. Well, what's happening now is when we choose the annotation button, this is what we think, our interpretation of the message, is that you go into annotation mode, and your attendees, you have to be in a certain role, in a presenter mm-hmm. role, can annotate on that image. You can, I guess, do it a bit like a football game or a basketball game. You know, have all the arrows and strategy stuff going all nice. Over it, you know. Yes. But it's live. I think this is our interpretation, that there may be your GIFs are sort of doing its thing in the background, or cursors are moving around, that it's still live. And in following that, you've got the option to save that content as a whiteboard file. It'll be static at that point, and you can access it later. Is that your interpretation of this message too, Daniel?
That is my interpretation. Does it make
good,
sense?
Because I did try and drum that in, you know, in our preparation.
Yeah, this is how does it make sense that it's live? I don't know. I'm not giving commentary there, but it seems to be that it'll be live still. Mm. We'll see. But I think it's interesting. It's like you're taking a snap and it's taking this, it's like taking an image and turning it into a whiteboard. What I'm more interested in is, will then we be able to go into the whiteboard and move the annotations, or is it just taking a static image? Do you see what I'm saying? My question is, in the screenshot, it shows like someone has put a post-it note up there, right? Or a note. I don't know if we can say post-it note. We probably
sticky.
Some copyright thing. Yeah, but so got a sticky note up there. When we go to the whiteboard, will we be able to move the sticky? Or is it just going to be an image?
Well, it says that it saves it as a whiteboard file, which means that the assets in a whiteboard file will behave like a regular whiteboard. Like, you know, maybe we need to go in afterwards and add a couple more changes.
No,
that's sticky.
That's but that's not, well, I'm not asking if you can go in and add more stickies. I'm going in and saying, I'm asking, can you go in and change any of the annotations and move them around?
Yeah.
I'm thinking yes, but we'll see.
Yeah. You know, if it is live, this is something Daniel and I chuckled a bit about. You know, sometimes we might take a client through a web page, a SharePoint site or something like that. Imagine annotating and saying, I want you to change the font to the new custom fonts. And we're going to use Montserrat, for example, in our heading. So, no. Okay, scroll down the page. Annotation stays. We don't know. Yep. We want to confirm this. And when can we confirm this? Well, this is going to be generally available beginning to roll out late April. Late May 2024, complete by late June. So looking forward to seeing that. And maybe I'll use it a bit more based on that.
Maybe. I actually might. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone. We have come to the end. It's so sad to see you go and for us to part. This is our sad time of the week where we leave you, but we'll be back next week, so don't worry, we're here for you as always, except when we're not. So make sure that you like and subscribe, and we'd love to see your comments on the episode and on the socials. Tell us what you think. What do you think about the new Brand Center? What do you think about how you're going to use loop components in OneNote? We'd love to hear you and get your ideas. So please share. And thank you so much.
And keep an eye out for Daniel as he travels around to a couple of different places for conferences and the like. So the M365 conference coming up soon, Daniel. They'll see you there with a session or a workshop.
Absolutely. It's in a week or so. We're going to be doing a workshop and I have a session. So would love to see you in Orlando. Make sure you use the discount code GLEN100 to save a bunch of money. But love to see you there. If you do see me, say hi. I'll give you a sticker. All right. So would love to see you.
Cool. All right. Till episode, 330 next time. See you then. Bye for now.